go.
Okay, today is the 19th of Tammuz. It's the 2nd of July. We are in the Bein HaMetzarim when we seek to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and have to do all we can to build ourselves to be ready for that. Thank you very much. Marilyn's not able to join us today. Okay, we're in the bottom of page Pei Gimel. Are we?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Oh, we did that.
Yeah, I think the bottom paragraph of Pei Gimel. Thank you very much. Let's read from here. Last time we spoke about the relationship between husband and wife, and people have to feel respected and so on. V'lochein, and therefore, inyan tochecha b'nogei l'ishtohu inyan adin v'dak ma'od. Again, this is speaking to husbands, but we can apply it from each angle he's talking. We can apply it to ourselves, whatever station we are in life. Therefore, the matter of criticism, constructive criticism, with regard to one's wife, is a matter that is fine and very sensitive. Tzarech ha-baal yizhar ma'od shelo yochiach ba'ofen sheyorid kodishto. Husband has to be very careful not to rebuke, not to give criticism in a way that lowers the esteem of his wife. V'ha'emesu sha'atochecha lo tiskabel etzlo imnesa shelo kahogan. The truth is that criticism is not accepted. It doesn't yield its proper result if it isn't given correctly. That's in general a concept. The Gemara talks about that we've already lost the ability to give a proper tochacha. If we wouldn't give it properly, it would be received properly. V'irak yigrom kas v'sin. It only causes anger and enmity. U'baal sheba'emes chos al kodesh to. A husband who really has concern for his wife's dignity. In the vast majority of cases, could instruct what he feels is the correct way without any lowering of her kavod. And again, same in any relationship. Sometimes people are too quick. Yeah, I know it's right. That person did what's wrong, so I'm going to put it right out there. But there's a lot of ego involved. There's a lack of sensitivity involved. Am I really trying to cause the best result, or am I just being emotionally lazy or arrogant and so on? Lemoshel, imishto balas lashon hara, if his wife speaks lashon hara, yavod al atzmo b'inyan zeh v'yadug malishto, let him work on himself and let him be a model for his wife. If he's not too good himself, or if he doesn't foster a positive environment, so he should work on that, and the matter can be corrected that way. V'shulchan shel Shabbos.
Who points that out to him, though?
Huh?
Who points that out to him?
He's not at the shear.
I know.
I think we need to tape it and send it to all
for the record.
The men are taking this.
I am teaching this.
Yeah, they are taking it.
Oh, wow. Why is that?
Richie's learning.
You are watching.
We have a men's group learning this 15 minutes before Shacharis, Monday through Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do these things also work for the wife to consider towards her husband?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's not 100% the same. The relationships are slightly different, according to the way Chazal described them, but the general lessons, absolutely. That's why I feel it's beneficial, even when he's talking about a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud and a Rebbe, a husband to wife to husband. There's what to learn from all of them.
Girlfriend to girlfriend.
That's right. Any relationship, yeah.
So I always compliment your skirt.
I mean, we always have to step back and say, am I really doing all I can do here to foster the right aura, or am I just being lazy? U'b'shulchan shel Shabbos yidrash b'chashivas shel dibur tov. At the Shabbos table, he can darshan, he can find sources about the importance of a positive speech. V'da, and you should know, shemishim zalzal b'chod ishto ayidei tochachto shelo l'tzarach, a person who denigrates the covet of his wife by way of his tochacha unnecessarily. He could have done it with wisdom in a way that's more b'kavodik. There's no doubt he's going to have to give a judgment for that. Asid litenes adin is a strong phrase, a frightening phrase.
What, can you read that again? I'm sorry.
A person who could have done it in an honorable fashion and doesn't do so has to know that he's going to have to give a judgment for that. Asad litenes adin. That's a strong term that we sometimes invoke. Ukvar hishiru chazal. Our chachamim have already exhorted us, Gemara in Bava Metzia, al hachomer shel ona'as ishto, about the severity of ona'a. Ona'a means two things. It means overcharging. It also means harming through words. It means harming monetarily, and it means harming verbally. You have both usages in the Gemara and Bava Metzia, and both usages in the Torah. Lo sonu ishes amiso. One of the great Svarim, the Bechar Shor, points out the commonality. And for most of us, we think of those as two different things. If I'm overcharging for a product, or I'm misrepresenting my product and charging you too much money, or if I'm insulting you, those don't seem to be very common. Yet the Torah uses the same word for both, so it's been explained, because usually when people insult others, they don't do it openly. It's done through a little bit of trickery. It's done, you know, most people are too self-respecting to flat out hurt someone's feelings, but they'll say something that sounds like it's couched in sensitivity. Right. You know, I'm really just thinking about it. It's best for you, and since you're such a fool, the same way you can misrepresent the product, we can misrepresent our words. There's really a lot of insult within those words, which I think is a deep insight. If we'll be careful with the honor of our wives, we will merit great blessing. As I'll say, a person should be very careful with the honor of his wife. Blessing is not found in a person's house, but because of his wife. Okay. Which brings us to
teach this to the men.
Just like that.
Share 15 minutes after.
Just like that. We pause for emphasis. No, it's a beautiful sefer because a lot of svarim are written at a very high level. When we're learning Maseilas Yesharim, that's written at the highest level, and you have to kind of unpack it. What contemporary svarim do? A person could ask a question. I spoke about this when we learned numerous of the more recent svarim. Why learn a sefer from the 20th century? Or the 19th century, if you could learn something from the 15th or 14th. But the answer is the more recent authors unpack for us. Rishonim wrote in very cryptic, you know, if the Vilna Gaon said he learned the Maseilas Yesharim, there's not an extra word in the first 11 chapters, and he knew everything, so it means it's written at a high level. We need somebody who's going to, you know, sort of spell it out for us. What's beautiful about the Sefer is he walks through teachings of Chazal, but then says how to apply them in very real terms. But you don't have so many svarim doing. It's a great sefer. Therefore, I think it's great that young people are learning it. It's very popular in yeshivas, this sefer, which is a wonderful thing.
Oh, good. Before marriage, or
yeah, which is it's talks about marriage, talks about parenting. Okay. It's it's good to learn about those things
before
you get there. Yeah. None of that. It's not just done as a preparation. Okay, he's taking a few classes. It's a sefer, which is good because it doesn't have a limit to how many times you review it and so on. So let's see the next section. Not to denigrate the covet of others. Let's turn now to the opposite of giving covet to others, which is the opposite. A person, the word zol means cheap. Generally, in Lashon HaKodesh, when you repeat a series of letters, it emphasizes it. Katan is small, katantan is tiny. When I was katantan, there was a children's book called The Adventures of Katantan. I was in a photo with the author. And they,
really?
And the, I don't know what paper it was in Greater Washington, Silver Spring, but it was in the paper, my kindergarten class. It was a big moment for me. But with the author of Katan, but Katantan means very small. You have a lot of words like that. Zol is cheap. Zilzol is denigrating. It's lowering something. It's cheapening something. Yeah. So zilzol b'chod acherim, v'zeo mida ro maguna ma'od. This is a very bad and unbecoming mida. U'kashem shemitzvah gadol l'chabed acherim, k'mo shebi'arim. Just as it's a great mitzvah to give cover to others, kachi aveira chamura l'zalzol b'chod acherim. So is it a very serious aveira to lower the esteem of others. V'kavod bonim es ha'adam. With kavod we build a person. Right? The beautiful teaching he said before that whereas other negative traits, you don't find Chazal saying if you run away from it, it runs after you. If you run away from jealousy, it will run after you. They never said such a thing. If you run away from desire, it will run after you. But it does, if you run away from kavod, it will run after you, implying that there's some aspect of kavod which is necessary and good. Person's not supposed to be looking for it and asking for it, but there's some aspect of basic dignity that's good for a person. So we build people through kavod. And with denigration, you destroy a person. Really can ruin someone. Upashut shemishim is zalzal b'chor acherim, person who lowers the esteem of others, bein b'fneim, bein shelo b'fneim, whether in front of their face, not in front of their face, but over alister loshen hara, violates loshen hara. Zehu simen she'en lo kod atzmi. It's an indication, it's a symptom, a sign that he doesn't have self-esteem. Shekevin shechaser b'chor atzmi, kasha lo lizbol hakavod shel acherim. Since he's lacking kavod for himself, it's difficult for him to bear the kavod of others. The Svarna points out this past week's parsha that even though Balak said to Bilam, I know that whoever you bless will be blessed, and whoever cursed shall be cursed, he was actually stretching the truth. He knew that Bilam couldn't bless, he could only curse. Imagine somebody, the only thing he's effective in is cursing somebody. A good word he can't say. Not a good story. So a person needs to put down the covet of others. Somehow he's lacking, and he can't bear that others should be held in esteem. Also, such a person is the opposite of what we wrote above. Who is truly honorable? One who honors others. So it follows that one who cannot honor others and does not honor others is because he's not truly honorable. It appears this is the meaning of the teaching of Chazal in the Gemara and Tainus. This is a famous Gemara, and Rav Kestenbaum gives us a very deep insight into this Gemara. Let's take a listen. In the future, all of the creatures are going to gather around the snake, the serpent, and they're going to say to him, Ari doris v'ochel, the lion tears and eats. Ze'ev tarif ochel, the wolf tears apart and eats. In other words, they are beasts of prey, but it's because that's how they're fed. We understand it's perhaps a little shocking to us the way they attack another animal, but we understand why they do it. Ato mahano yesh lecha. But the venomous snake who just bites an animal and leaves, what hana do you have? Amar lahem ve'ein yisran leval halashon adkan. The snake says back, and there's no benefit to a person who speaks lashon hara. Ve'ein yisran leval halashon. There's no benefit to the bal halashon. End quote. What's your problem with me? What does the person speak lashon hara for? So this, at a simple level, the Gemara seems to be saying, what do you have to hurt other people for? You don't benefit from it. V'tamua, but it's a wonder, how, this is now Rav Kestenbaum speaking. Hello, taiva gadol hiladar b'loshon hara. We find that people enjoy it very much. Yeah, they're all gossip centers. Vada yesh b'zeh hana. There certainly is hana. What does that mean? People aren't speaking lashon hara lahachis, like just to be rebellious against Hashem. They speak lashon hara because they enjoy it. They enjoy gossiping. So what does the Gemara mean? B'nirish einachinami. That abbreviation is einachinami, which is a good yeshivish term. It means, like, granted. Einachinami yesh ana, but is it true? There is ana. Avol ze einu elam yishum she'enim b'riyim b'nafsham. V'chol hana osam machmas choli hanefesh. This is a brilliant insight. Yeah, people who speak Lashon Hara enjoy speaking Lashon Hara, but you have to take it a level back. Why do they enjoy speaking Lashon Hara? There's something fundamentally wrong. If a person enjoys speaking Lashon Hara, there's something about his character that's missing. He enjoys speaking Lashon Hara because he doesn't feel good unless the other guy is put down, unless the esteem of the other person is lowered. Why is that?
Because he has low self-esteem.
Right. So there's the problem. Per se, there shouldn't be any hana in speaking Lashon Hara. True, the person who speaks it enjoys it, but therein lies the problem. He shouldn't be in that state of mind where he enjoys speaking Lashon Hara. Avol mi she'yesh lo brios hanefesh, a person who is spiritually healthy, lo yimtza hana mizilzul shel acherim. He will not find enjoyment in denigrating others. El yeh meguna be'einav. It would be unbecoming in his eyes. Ma she'en ken she'ara taivus kamo achila, but this is not similar, therefore, to other desires like eating. Adarabim, ein lo la'odam hana, ba nechshuv l'choli haguf. If a person has no appetite, he never feels like eating, so something's wrong, right? That's a sickness, that's an unfortunate thing. We're supposed to have hunger, it keeps us healthy. So what he's saying is, what the Gemara is saying is, my yisra on the bal halashon, a lion has to eat, a wolf has to eat. A human being who is hungry and therefore has to eat, that's healthy. But a human being who feels like he has to speak Lashon Hara, true, there are people who feel that way, but it comes from spiritual sickness. Granted, people feel good about it. We're not saying people don't enjoy speaking Lashon Hara, but therein is the problem. That comes from a lack of health, a lack of midah health, which should be addressed. We have to heal ourselves from this illness. It's a beautiful insight to understand the Gemara. Because otherwise there's like a lurking question. What does the Gemara mean? Now we understand it. Even though it's certainly it's a mitzvah in the Torah, you shall surely rebuke your friend. It's a mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim. Unlike a Western mentality, which is that, you know, your religious beliefs are your own business, we do have a concept of arevus, we do have a concept of responsibility. We don't approach Hashem only as individuals, we approach Hashem as an ummah, and to some degree as humanity. And we do have responsibility one for another, so there is a concept of, so to speak, meddling in someone else's, of correcting what's wrong. A person is supposed to correct what's wrong. Chazal say, "Kol mi sheyesh b'yado limchos ve'ena mocha nitvas ba'osa avon." The Ramah quotes it in Shulchan Aruch. Anybody who has the ability to protest and doesn't do so will be held accountable for that sin. So there certainly are teachings that we're supposed to correct something that's wrong. Mikol makom od yesh lizar la'ochiach ba'ofen machubot. However, we have to be very careful to give tochach in a way that's honorable. Shalol zalzul v'chod chavero, not to denigrate the honor of his friend. V'ikar hazilzul mishnei ta'amim. The main zilzul comes from two reasons. Okay, we're like kind of dissecting it now. Why do people feel embarrassed or lowered when they are criticized? Aleph sha'achas sheshomei chatoso magishu she'ino chashuv kevin she'osek neged ratzon Hashem. First of all, just per se, you're pointing out to me that I'm doing something wrong, so I'm not such a great guy. I'm doing something wrong. I do things that are against the will of Hashem, so I feel lower. So for that reason alone, we have to give tochacha in a way that's chizuk. It doesn't make me feel bad, it makes me feel like I can do better. That's aleph. The other is vis-a-vis the person who's rebuking him. Now I feel like I'm not so choshuv in the eyes of my friend. Kevin shechaveru makeh chesronosav. He recognizes my shortcomings. V'avor zeh yesh lochiach b'chachma gedola. So for this, the tochacha has to come with great wisdom. Shemati daber nechmad. I heard a, almost means like a cute verb. Shesof ha-pasuk shel lochiach tochiach chesam yisecha hu losisa olav chet. Pasuk in Kedoshim, it says, you shall surely rebuke a friend. V'losisa olav chet. You shall not bear a sin from him or upon him. Which, by the way, just pasuk shot. And the pasuk means don't rebuke in a way that is sinful. That's
you
should not embarrass him. But now he's saying a sort of a vort in the pasuk. Lo sisa olav literally means you shouldn't carry upon him. To be nosa means to carry a burden. So he's saying the following vort. Lo sisa olav chet. V'hainu shelo yase hachet masui. Don't make the sin into a great burden, v'davar kaved olav, and something very heavy on him. She'oz yargish she'davar gadol hu be'inecha. Then he'll feel like it's a very big thing in your eyes. Ela k'davar kal be'inecha. Make it like something like, don't lo sisa lochei, don't carry a big heavy sin upon him. Rather, make it something light. V'rak she'besof yoven me'atzmo chomer ha'inyan. Just that at the end, he should come to recognize on his own the severity of it. In other words, if a person utilizes wisdom and points out, yeah, no, I think maybe we're not supposed to do it that way. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. And then he goes, looks up, and says, "Whoa, yeah, I definitely shouldn't do it that way. That's a real double whammy, right? You're not supposed to do that." So then, with regard to me, he doesn't feel bad. I didn't make a big deal of it. But on his own, the person will come to recognize he really shouldn't do that. That's a nice vort in the pasuk and a good practical wisdom. You also should give to Chacha in a way that he doesn't feel like the sin was resting in your mind from the time it happened. You know, 3 weeks ago he did something, and now I come over to him, he feels like the whole 3 weeks I was thinking about it. Because by this he will think that his prominence has been lessened. Nifchas, from the word pachos, meaning to lower, to lessen by you. shouldn't come to him right away with rebuke. Better if he talks about something else first. Yeah, great game last night. Phillies won in the 14th inning. Unbelievable. I only know that from the news. My son thought it
was
You should try to say that sensitively.
It only hurt my
whole my self esteem was riding on my knowledge of sports. But he's giving us practical examples. But if I'm going to give somebody criticism, and I come over as the first thing I say, so he thinks it was very important to me. If it just comes up sort of by the way in the conversation, again, if it's done, you know, it shouldn't seem disingenuous or artificial. But there are ways of making it like it wasn't the biggest deal, so then he doesn't feel as embarrassed. They're saying if you're having a conversation, and then in the midst of the conversation, oh, I wanted to tell you such and such, then it doesn't come out as hurtful. V'shamati mi'arav Daniel Kalish Lita. I heard from Rabbi Kalish, again, the Rosh Hashiva of Waterbury, who's a master machanech, very sensitive and understanding of people. Sheyesh lilmo kein mi Yaakov Avinu, you can learn this from Yaakov Avinu, shochiach es haroem, hein od hayom gadol. Parashas Vayetze. He rebukes the shepherds. He says, you know, it's still daytime, why are you gathering in all the flock? You're supposed to do it at the end of the day. You're hired to shepherd them. So he had to give them rebuke. It turns out there was a reason why they were doing what they were doing. First, he spoke with them words of peace and honor. Achai, ma'ayin atem. My brothers, where are you from? He calls them Achai. My brothers, I remember before I went to the rabbinate, a cousin of my mother's, a prominent rabbi in Rosh Hashiva. It was this week. It was Barshas Vayetze. He said, you're going into Rabbanus. You have to know if you have to give people rebuke, do like Yaakov Avinu. First say Achai. First make them my brothers, and then you could say what you have to say. Shim miyad ha-yemachiyach ha-sam, if he would rebuke them right away, oz yargishu shirak misrakez al-chasron ha-sayim ve'inim ha-chubodim ve'inim, then they'll feel like he doesn't focus except on their shortcomings, and they're not honorable in his eyes, which is very true. Sometimes we only see the negative. Chazal say about when David HaMelech was dancing in front of the Aron, and Michal Bas Shaul says she looks out the window, and what she saw was that he was kicking up his ankles. It must have been the grandest scene you could imagine in front of the arm, but what she saw, so one of the swarm says, sometimes a woman looks out the window, and all she says, oh, why is he wearing those pants? You know, like, so, just to keep things even here, I had to give a little bit of a... anyway, but she was criticized very strongly for that. But sometimes things could be wonderful, and the only thing I see is the one thing that's wrong. So we have to be careful about that in the way we think and therefore in the way we express ourselves. V'yeshod harbe etzus v'tachbulos, and many other suggestions and strategies. These are just examples. V'yikr sha'adam yitrach lachshav. The main thing is that a person should bother himself to think. Eich yuchol le'achiyach b'ofen achinoyim. How can he rebuke in a way that's the most pleasant? V'im lo tarach, and if he doesn't bother himself. That's what I said before. It really could be just a function of laziness. Harei zilzul b'chor chaveru shalo letzarech. So he lowered the honor of his friend unnecessarily. And he makes a very stark comparison here. Hadavar Dhamma Lamashakasa Rambam Hilchas Ritzicha. And this can be likened to what the Rambam writes in Hilchas Ritzicha, laws of murder. Kola Yochala Hatzel Be'ever Me'evar Shaladim Velo Tarach Bakachel Hitzel Benafsha Shal Rodev Harago Harizah Shofech Dhamim. There's a concept of a Rodev. Somebody is pursuing somebody else, he's going to kill someone. So the halach is we're supposed to stop the rodef, but if we can stop him by injuring him in a without a mortal wound, without hitting a vital organ, that is absolutely the halach. That person doesn't bother. He could have shot him in shoot him in the foot, but he shot him mortally just because he didn't bother her. Is a shofech damim. So the one who saved the nirdef is actually a murderer himself, a chayiv misa. He's really a chayiv misa. Avayim bezin misa. So he's not. Put to death in a human court, but he did a terrible thing. So people's emotions are also very serious. So if we can do things without hitting a vital organ, and we hit a vital organ, that's a terrible sin.
What if you hit a vital organ by mistake?
That can happen. That can happen.
The guy jumps just as the bullet arrives.
Yeah, so look, some things are not within our control. It happens. I think that's a lot of discussion in the world today. Police, so on. You have to respect somebody who's making a split-second decision and would like to come home to his family as well. And the same can be in emotional things. Sometimes we try and things don't come out right. But our job is to try, to be as thoughtful as we can be. Errors can happen anyway. There are people who always are rebuking everybody, and their intent is not l'shem shemayim. Elam is goyim v'mashem tovim m'sher b'nei adam. Rather, they take pride. They're proud of the fact that they're better than everybody else. V'im nira echad she'oiv lo'chiyach lo'ichbas lo'liras b'zil zol chavera. And if you see somebody who loves to rebuke and it doesn't bother him, lo'ichbat is it's a Gemara term that actually made its way into modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
So that's from the Gemara?
Yeah, it's a Gemara term.
Holy Christmas.
Yeah, it's Aramaic. Machpatli. They use it. It's funny to me. They use it in.
You said that all the time in Israel.
Yeah, it's funny. They use it in modern Hebrew. It's a Gemara term. My ichbaslan. It's Aramaic.
Machpatli.
Yeah. It doesn't bother him to see zilzul chavera. Oh, she'enu machiach ofen shal kavod kanal, or doesn't rebuke in a way that's kavodik, as we mentioned. Simen muvaku she'en kavanos l'shem shemayim. Simen muvak is a very clear sign. The laws of returning the lost object or recognizing someone. A simon is, he's wearing a blue shirt. A simon muvak is, he's wearing a blue shirt that 2 inches down behind the collar on the left is a slight yellow thread that was left in from the manufacturer. Simon muvak means it's clear, you have beyond any doubt. So it's a simon muvak. That his intent is not l'shem shemayim. If he's insensitive, so then he's obviously not doing it for the right reason. V'gam tzarech adam lizara shelo litol mechaver hakavod hamagia lo. You also have to be careful not to take from people kavod that they deserve. Actually, he uses the term magia lo. Magia lo means kavod that's coming to them, which could even be beyond what they deserve. It could be kavod that was en route. And then you...
stepped in the way.
Yeah, you step in the way, or you divert it. It's a terrible... terrible thing to take from anybody what they have. Person sleeping, don't steal his sleep. Person is in a position of gaining some respect, and someone else can step in the way and block it. L'mashal, amadum mispal v'kol yofe. If a person davens with a nice voice.
I got stuck in that construction.
Yes. So did I.
When you know the place, I had no idea what I was doing.
Took me 20 minutes to get here, and I live... because I made the mistake of... well, we're glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. My daughter says hello.
Okay, so hello back. Thank you. So we're talking about not taking away respect that people deserve or respect that's coming to them. He gives an example. Somebody's a very fine chazan. He just davened beautifully. Everybody was enthralled by the davening. V'achach amalo chaver shebi ikaron hispal yafim ha'od ach nigun achat shebocher lo hitim. You go right over to this person who just davened beautifully and everybody loved it, and you say, you know, you really davened very nicely, but the one tune you took, you shouldn't use that tune. It doesn't fit the words.
I always learn, especially as a parent, you're taught just compliment first and then give a correction.
It's a sandwich. Good, bad, good.
Okay, because that's something I think was kind of Proverbial wrote for someone of the parshas. She said that it's really you need to leave them with a good one. Not
that's right.
You
sandwich.
You could do like a sandwich, yeah. But you shouldn't just say a criticism. I mean, that's a nice thing, and then a criticism, and leave them with a criticism.
Right. It's like the order of the Shemone Esrei.
Right.
Although, of course, we don't criticize Hashem, but...
No,
I think that's true. Start positive, end positive, right.
And then positive.
That's true, even in general, when you approach somebody where they were at a baseline state of mind. Here we're talking about where somebody was in a position where they just worked hard and actually deserve accolades. So here you're really robbing them. It's one thing if I had somebody, I have to give some constructive criticism. It's much better think about all the good things a person does, say something nice, zero in on what can be better, and then leave something nice. Here you're really stealing from the person because he or she just worked hard for something that one would expect. Some affirmation, some compliment. I mean, how does it feel to work hard on something and then
nothing?
Yeah. So if the first thing I say is, it was very nice, but you chose a bad tune, say, nothing, anything you say afterward is going to be missing.
Yeah, because that's all they're hearing.
So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about really like stealing cover that a person deserves. Or a person just gave a drasha. You spoke very nicely, but could you speak so we could hear you? So,
or maybe not quite so long.
Right.
I could told that.
Right, I see that all the time.
I remember when I was in high school, I used to hear about wine almost every day. So he used to tell the story that he gave what he thought was a great drush, and I'm sure it was. And somebody came and said, Rabbi, I have to compliment you about this Shabbos. Your tie was great. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, Bazeh Hifsud Kvoda, you've made him lose his kavod. Shemikodim, Hirgish Tov al Mashazi. He was feeling good about what he did. V'achshav Huchoshev Rakal HaChasar. Now he's only going to think about what was lacking. Oh, I didn't speak loud enough. Oh, it wasn't a good tune. Like it was a lost opportunity for affirmation and for respect. Ela hachacham eina barosh kedei lazer lehem la'asid. So rather, a wise person, invoking the phrase from Pirkei Avos here, a wise person is able to see ahead, think of a way to help in the future. Yasaka, so he should do that. How do you do that? Miyad kishagamar tefilaso adrosh aso yomelo kamayafa. So right when he finished the performance, whatever it was he or she did, complimented as it deserves to be. Varak achar is a yomim yomelo shalasid yasakach v'kach. Lay and go over a couple of days later and say, you know, I was thinking maybe the people in the back couldn't hear, or something like that. So then he didn't take away what was coming to the person. Then he'll also be more open to receive the criticism because he didn't lose his respect. He already got what he needed. To the contrary, he'll feel good that the person wants to help him, but not to steal it right away. Everything needs, it says in Mishlei, Dover Beito Matov, a thing in its right time. I think a lot of important things in life, but it's got to be in the right time. Mm-hmm. He writes a little story here. Again, this is really written for Yeshiva Bachram, so some of the vignettes are from that perspective. Pam hayabachar echad shechidesh davar b'gemara ma'od samachba. This Yeshiva Bachar who came up with something new in the Gemara, a novel way of explaining something. He was very proud of it, very happy. Yitzio lachaver, he presented it to his friend. Told his chavrusa, no, the Gemara means like this. This is the way to understand it. Chaver o haven shetah b'tarasa. His friend understood he actually was making a mistake. It was a fundamental error. Sometimes if no one else thought of it, there's a reason. Oh, yeah. So his friend understood that he made a mistake. There was something brilliant here, but it's based on an error. He saw how his whole self-respect was resting in this novel interpretation. So right away he responded, it's an incredible insight. How do you think of such a thing? It's genius. Which, by the way, doesn't mean it facetiously. You can have something that's brilliant at one level, just if you really know the sources, it doesn't fit in. It was creative genius. It answered up a few questions, but it doesn't, you know, it can't be true for some other reason. So his chavrusa saw the error in it right away, but first complimented the genius aspect of it. Varak l'achar zman, but later he said to him, chashavti al achidish v'koshali l'havan adran. I thought about it. It's hard to you know, it's hard to accept, hard to understand. V'achaveru ki bildvarav b'simcha. And his friend accepted his words with simcha. They tell a story, it's been attributed to different Gedolei Yisrael. I've heard it said about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I've heard it said about others, that he used to come in and give a shiur, and it was pretty straightforward. See the Gemara, the Rashi, it means like this, and this has to mean like this, and this means like that, and well, everything worked out. The answer to this question is probably like this or like that. Like, pretty straightforward. One time he came into shiur, and he said, how are we supposed to understand this? Maybe you could say like this and like this, which would be a great answer, but no, you can't because of that. Or maybe we could say like this. No, because of this. And the shiur was like a roller coaster. It was exhilarating. Had this possible idea. No, can't be this idea. And the Talmidim came over afterward. They said, that was an incredible shiur today. We're just curious. It was very atypical. It wasn't your usual style, but it was beautiful. He said, no, I just wasn't prepared. Usually I think through the ideas and realize I can't be, so I just give you the bottom line. This is the correct shot. But here, I wasn't prepared, so you could say like this, no, it's wrong. You could say like that, no, it's wrong.
And actually would say he would see that he was wrong?
Right, so that's what was happening. So sometimes with somebody else, it looks like onus. So the same thing here. His chavruta thought of something. It was brilliant. But if you actually analyze it, it's not correct, but it doesn't mean there's no brilliance in it. It just hadn't been entirely worked through. We should always remember that the honor of our cohorts, of our friends, is really resting before us. It means it's in our hand. Kavod comes from other people. We spoke about really a person should have an inner dignity, an inner respect, and shouldn't need affirmation from others. But it's a very high level to really need no respect from others, and therefore most people, their feeling about themselves is at the mercy of others, and we should realize we have that ability. We can do good or we can do less good. Kosef HaRambam, the Rambam writes in his commentary on the Mishnah at the end of Masechah Sanhedrin, Sha'amalbin p'nei chaver b'rabim v'akari l'chaveru b'kinui, one who literally means he whitens the face of his friend publicly, causes him such shame that the blood drains from his face, which I'll speak of in very, very harsh terms. There is a halachic question whether that is literally to be considered a quote-unquote like byproduct of murder or not. Right? We have a concept of the three cardinal sins, so not only should one forfeit his life rather than do them, but even what's called abizrayu, their dust. For example, avodah zarah, idolatrous worship, is absolutely forbidden in the most serious way, and even things that are considered just subcategories of it. There's a halacha in the Gemara that if there's an asherah tree, a tree that was worshipped, so I'm not even allowed to use the sap from that tree as a medical remedy. Why? Because I'll say, oh, thank God for the asherah sap, that's why I'm feeling better today, because I used it. I'm not worshipping the tree, you know, but since I'm getting a benefit from idolatrous sort of a worship, so even that's considered, it's called abizrayu d'avodah zarah, it's a subcategory. The Gemara uses the term the dust. It's the things in matters of arayus also that are like that, even if it's not the sin per se, but it's a subcategory. So is there such a thing as a subcategory of murder? A person should rather forfeit his life than commit murder, right? So is there such a thing as a secondary type of murder? Some Rishonim understand the Gemara to be saying that when our sages said that better to have oneself cast into a fiery furnace than shame someone publicly, that they meant it literally, because it's like murder when the blood drains from somebody's face. So some maintain that it literally is meant as a halachic statement. Some say that it was meant as a musar statement. It doesn't mean literally to that degree. At times our sages speak a little bit in an exaggeration to make the point, but there are different opinions on that. Some hold it's literal. It's abizrayu d'ritzicha. Somebody asks you a halachic question. Is there such a thing as a halachic subcategory of murder? So some hold it embarrassing somebody publicly. So one who does that, v'akar l'chaveru b'kinui, one who calls somebody by a derogatory nickname. Okay, that's what a kinui is. A kinui means a nickname or a diminutive, but here it means it's derogatory. V'hamischabed b'kalon chaveru, one who takes honor in his friend's downfall or achievement, that's from the word kal. I get honored by the other person being put down. The fact that everybody's laughing at him is good for me. That's a very negative trait. So the Rambam says, Lo yasa maisa me'ela ela bal nefesh garua. No one would do any of these actions except somebody who's a very unbecoming soul. She'ein bo shlemus. It's very lacking in shlemus. Very hard to translate the word shlemus. It means completion, but it's not used that way in the world at large. We are always seeking shlemus, completion, wholeness. So a person who's very lacking in wholeness, maybe say wholesomeness, such a person is not fit for the world to come. It can happen that a person is embarrassed by some circumstance. And others enjoy this. They laugh at him. This is very, very unbecoming to benefit from the zilzal, the embarrassment of others. I'm just remembering now, and I don't remember the exact quote or the exact vignette, but I believe in the historical writings that we have about the altar of Slobodka, the great Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, who was one of the great, great, great Musar personalities, who also had an uncanny insight into people. There are many, many stories where everybody thought one way and he thought a different way about a person, and years later, decades later, they realized he was right. His behavior was very hard to understand. The students, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, learned under him and many others. Sometimes he would act in a way in the yeshiva toward a certain student and they couldn't figure out. He was very warm to a Talmud who they thought deserved to be distanced. He was distant to somebody who thought and they would realize years later that he understood everybody. So if I recall correctly, there's a story recorded where he somebody was in the yeshiva and left and came back, I don't know, like 10 years later, and the Alto lambasted him because he had years earlier laughed. Something happened where somebody was shamed and he like smirked. It wasn't like a big thing, but he the Alto caught it and he gave it to him.
Like, 10 years later.
Yeah, a long time later. He felt that was revealing of something in the personality that was fundamentally flawed and had to be corrected. I was sitting at the Shabbos table of my mother's first cousin in Yerushalayim, who was a Rosh Hashiva, and he was telling a story how Reb Nachum Pertsavich was the great Rosh Hashiva in the Mir. Passed away, I guess, the early 1980s. A lot of people learned in the Mir back in those years. Reb Nachum was our guys in the Masifta in the top shir. He used the Chidushi Reb Nachum. It's like a great sefer. He was one of the great, great Rashi Yeshiva. So somebody asked a question in shir that just revealed that he totally missed the boat. It's like we're learning something and everybody gets this. And they asked a question that means like he misinterpreted a word, like a basic word. And people just laughed. It was just funny. And he said, and Reb Nachum had a totally straight face and just said, no, you're using the word like this, it means like this. And went on like there wasn't an inch, there wasn't a millimeter of room for laughing at somebody. And it was so on the spot that you saw it was like totally in his character, so developed. U'b'sefer Madrega Sa'odam. This is a sefer he's quoted numerous times. The sefer Madrega Sa'odam, which has been reprinted very nicely in recent times, I have one at home. It is the sefer of the Altar of Navarak. The Altar of Navarak, Rabbi Yosef Yozel Horowitz, was also one of the great and very intense Musar personalities. I don't think most of us today could relate to the Navarak Musar. Navarak Musar was really appropriate for people who I think were very proud and very tough. You have to realize in the yeshiva world of old, it was only like the genius of the city who went away to yeshiva. So the guys who were they were accomplished, and they were smart, and they were... So the Navarak Musar was really about putting yourself down. Those were people who needed to be beaten down to be at the right level. Navarak Musar involved actually doing things that were embarrassing to oneself just to develop character. We're not really too into this today. And the Alter himself, I mean, there's beautiful insights in that sefer, but he was a very intense Musar personality, including the fact that he went into seclusion for long periods of time where no one spoke to him. There were two openings in the room he was in. One was for the miltic food, one was for the fleshic food, and his food was served and the people for weeks at a time, I think sometimes months at a time. It actually incurred some of the opposition to Musar. Was fed by his practices. Is this what the Torah wants us to be? Actually, Mr. Al-Salant himself was not in favor. But he was a very intense Musar personality. So he is a Sefer Madrega Sa'adam. So maybe Maisen Norim Rabbi Akiva Eger. He cites an awesome story involving Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger is known as the great genius. We talk about Rishonim and Achronim. Rishonim are the great sages from, let's say, around the year 1000 to 1500, and Achronim are from about 1500 till the present day. So if I would ask somebody who studied in yeshiva, quick, give an example of a great Achron. I think Rabbi Akiva Eger would probably be, like, right up there, a quick response, because he was the great, great, great Torah genius. Wrote on Shas, wrote on Shulchan Aruch. So, Vizela Shana, so this is a quote, this is the Alter of Navarak writing a story about Rabbi Akiva Eger. Mavel al Arayan. Mavel al Arayan is an expression that means like it astounds the imagination. Shemesaper Mal, they tell about Rabbi Akiva Eger, Asher Ba'ez Shabal Mechutana Begeda Areach. He came to his Mechutan as a guest. I believe this means he was engaged, and he came to visit the family of his bride to be. Umotza Oz Harbe Asher Rotzu Lisfakech Mimalos of Agvoim. Now, the word was already out about this young genius, and there were many people there who wanted to start up with him, show he's not so great. You know, competitive society. That's what the words seem to say. I don't know if it means they really wanted to put him down or they wanted to test him. Vimkol mi shadiber asa atzma lebilti baki. With everybody he spoke, he made himself like he didn't know what he was talking about. Marek Subas? Where? I guess you're right. Ubilti bal svara, and he had no, not, didn't have good logic. Oh, I hear what you're saying, I think. I can't wait to say it again. And he removed the whole big impression. It was a big reputation. This genius, he's marrying into this family, and he came, and people started talking and learning. It's an unbelievable story, to the degree that the father-in-law-to-be was really having second thoughts. I got a lemon here. Everybody said he's a genius. There's nothing there. And he... I'm just reading the words, the way he writes it, that he kind of revealed to me that he kind of wishes he would leave. I said, just wait a week. It'll be okay. Why do you do this? It was another chassan. There were two young men who got engaged that week to girls from this community. So there was another chassan in town. And hirish kol ir means he made a commotion. He also had a nice reputation. He made a whole commotion. Oh, a great Torah scholar. Apparently the other one was getting married first. So that chassan was in town, and he had a big reputation, and everybody was impressed with him, and he was going to be leaving in a week. V'yoda ba'atzmo, Rabbi Akiva Eger knew, ki yimigales kol kankano, if he'll reveal it, means his whole bottle. There's an expression, a rabbinic expression, to hit him on his bottle. It means to see what he's made of. If Rabbi Akiva Eger would have revealed what he's made of, yochel lahashkit hara shel chassan ploni kol kach, achi yochel livoled chisaron b'chol inyonov. It would have been so overshadowing, so dwarfing, that it would have harmed the other chassan, and he felt it could have harmed him. He had a big reputation, and this genius comes to town, and he looks like nothing. So he made himself like a fool. Huh. For a week, he made himself like a fool. V'lachein chika ad sheyisa mishem, so he waited till he left. U'b'toch zman ze, lo dochak, he didn't force anything, v'asa atmo kelo, he made himself like a nothing. V'kach hayen, and so it was. Ki acher nesiyaso, shav l'davar kamo yechol. Then he started talking the way he was actually capable. V'hirish es kulom, he made a big commotion in town. And the machutan was very impressed, even more than he would have been originally. Adkan l'shono. That's an end quote from the Alter Nevardak telling us a story about Rabbi Akiva Eger. See, yeah. Gedolei Yisrael, whatever they are in Torah learning, they're gaonim in midos, the same way. Mm-hmm. The Netziv used to say, you should read the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger as a Musar Sefer, which is unbelievable. His response, where he's talking technical and halacha, but he said the flavor of the way he writes, you can feel the pristine nature of his personality. In a story like that, you certainly see it. There's so many accurately, documented vignettes of Gedolei Yisrael who felt no need to show any greatness and were very happy to be thought of as fools when there was a reason for it. I keep telling you that story that Rabbi Yitzchak Blozer, one is known as Rabbi Itzla Petterberger, a student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that he met with the Beis Halevi, and the Beis Halevi was talking and learning. Beis Halevi was the great Torah genius, the father of Chaim Brisker. Beis Halevi said, I have this kasha, this is the way I answered it, this is the way my son answered it. And Rabbi Itzla didn't say a word the whole time. I said, oh, interesting. And then when he went home, he said, he's supposed to be such an Adam Gadol, and he had nothing to say in our conversation, let me take a look in his sefer. And he pulls the Pre-Yitzchak off the shelf. He looks, oh, he has a chapter on this very topic. He said, oh, look, he gave my answer. But he didn't say anything when he was there, he didn't feel a need.
That's godless.
Yeah. Now, the truth is, by the way, for smaller people, we actually encourage a little bit of the ego. It's actually good if yeshiva students talk and learn that they should want to prove themselves a little bit. Because if we're not on that level, sometimes the competitive nature of Torah, that you have to know what you're talking about, is good. So, but I'm talking for Gedolei Yisrael, though. Usually, if people are talking and learning, and that's part of the way a Beis Medrash is structured, that there's a pressure, there is a social pressure to want to be able to perform. That's not a bad thing. But a person who's at this level of mastery of his character doesn't need it. So that's a higher level. We have to be very, very careful with the dignity of our friends, whether in front of them or not in front of them. As our sages say, the honor of your friend should be dear to you like your own. I mentioned in the past that Reb Dessler said the obligation to judge someone favorably is an offshoot of loving someone like yourself. Because when I do something wrong, I immediately have all kinds of defenses. you don't understand, I wasn't feeling well, I wasn't there. We immediately have all kinds of exonerations why for ourselves it's okay. So why is it when someone else does something that these same defenses don't leap up? Because I don't love him like I love myself. For myself, I'm very defensive. You should really judge other people favorably too. He probably also wasn't having a good day, and so on. Umisha nizer binyan zeh, a person who's careful about this, vadei bo yikuyim divrei chazal, it is certain that in him the words of Chazal will be fulfilled. Kol shu ruach habrios nocha himenu, ruach hamakom nocha himenu. Anybody that people find him pleasant, people are happy with him, so God himself is happy with him. Umisha mashrish ba'atma kol masha kasavnu ba'ol makavod, a person who can, mashrish means to lay roots, I would say in English, to inculcate within himself everything we've written in this section. Ain't suffix shev ezvus Hashem Yisbarach yizke livnos es atzma. There's no doubt that he will merit to build himself, ishto, his wife, ubonov, etalmidov, his children, his students, v'chol ha'olam ha'sovavo, the whole world that's around him. Think about it. You have the opportunity to build so many people, whoever you encounter. V'tachas ha'kavod sh'yochel ha'hotzi es ha'adam min ha'olam, yizke l'ishtamish ba'kavod shabona alamos. It's a very beautiful and poetic way to end the section. Instead of kavod, which can drive a person from this world, he will utilize kavod that builds worlds. Kavod that drives a person from this world is the pursuit of honor. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't really give me the proper... A person is always running after respect, and I deserve better than that. That drives a person from the world, always looking for honor. But a person who's looking to give honor, instead of driving himself from the world, he can build people's worlds. That's the Olam HaKavod. The next section is about jealousy. Yes, I think we'll begin next time. I apologize for being late, but I think I ran into the same roadblocks.
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay.